Beautiful. So here we are once again for another round of sanity in this mad world. And today we're going to be talking about how to maintain our sanity and well-being in this toxic modern world. So this is an extremely important thing to understand because everything we experience in life has some sort of effect on us. And if we're exposed to all kinds of toxic, negative things on a regular basis, what do you think that's going to do to you? So this is what we're talking about today. So we're going to talk about what's actually required to maintain sanity in this world as it is. I'm going to talk about how to deal with the madness and get away from it because this is something that Nick and I are both very good at, and it requires a certain nuance, a certain style, and a certain way of living and thinking, and it can be done. Nick is a great example of this because he is goes in between all sorts of crazy stuff and does an extremely good job of holding it together. And my style is more design a life that avoids it all the time anyway. So we both have our own style. We're going to talk about dealing with technology, the overlords of technology, and the various mind control games. We talk about the power of vision, returning to the essence, the focus point, the point of light, and the importance of keeping your chart and anything else that we feel like talking about. So welcome, welcome, welcome.
Yeah, grandiose. And of course, in order to, what Mike's saying, where I like to function, where I'm called to function in the world, a bit closer to the mosh pit than, Michael's say comfortable with, and not as close to the mosh pit as other people are comfortable with. Other people are in the mosh pit. I don't like being in the mosh pit, but I don't mind skirting around the outsides, as long as I'm living in the grace. And this is very, 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 very important to get this piece, because we're going into a time now where, well, it's just super crazy real, like this whole Hunger Games society is coming to town, but it's the made in China version, and it's not going to be pretty. So you don't want anything to do with it. You want to be living in the grace. And the wonderful thing about grace is it's extremely protective. And the tools that we give and the support system is really in order to activate your own grace. That's basically what it boils down to. And obviously with that grace comes illumination, and so you can see more clearly. And with the love comes, your ability to manifest and create but it's grace is the only freedom in the world. It really is the only freedom. And you can't fake it. It's not about, it's not like fake it till you make it. It's more like face it till you make it. And the grace is just awesome.
Truly is. And
Truly.
that takes something to get into the grace.
That's right. You've got to pay to play. I read and I was reading this new book that I wrote today, and a quote in there that I got off David Wolf years ago was, "It's going to take everything you have to be all you can be." I thought that was a good one.
That's a great quote. It really is.
Commitment in this, bro.
Commitment in this, bro.
It is. And it's, we have to keep pushing ourselves beyond where we think we can handle it on a number of different levels. And we keep growing. That's the interesting thing is that when we are willing to do hard work, we benefit from it. We actually get stronger and it doesn't seem like a big deal. So something that might be really, really difficult today, if you just move in that direction a little bit and just push yourself and then just do it a little bit more and a little bit more, it starts to seem like, well, of course, that's no big deal at all. I can do that. I could do that twice as much. I could do five times as much. So it's just pushing slowly. And we don't have to, shock ourselves and try and do everything that we want to become and everything we are wanting to experience all in one shot tomorrow, because that's going to put us into a state of. It might feel good for maybe a day, but then you'll have a major crisis. So that's not going to work that way. We just need to keep moving in the right direction.
Yeah, and this grace factor keeps us moving a little bit on a magic carpet, which is what we want, instead of grinding, 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 and carrying the heavy load up the mountain and down and through the valleys. So focusing on the higher power, connecting with the higher power, really is the foundation of this advanced superhero training. You could say the first one, the original one, was it was a lot about, focusing, becoming soul conscious, and understanding yourself, who you are, and what life actually is. And that's a big shock to the system. That takes a lot of integrating, that does, because it's so different to the ego's version of reality. But this one is assuming that you already know who you are, and that you do, you're practicing soul consciousness, and then it's focusing on the higher power. And so the interesting thing about the higher power is you need to focus on that as a point as well. So I reckon we should do a little meditation here, bro. Can I just guide in a little meditation?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so we just want you to close your eyes, and of course, just 3 rounds of alternate nostril breathing is the most amazing amount of money in the bank in terms of dropping in. So let's just do 3 rounds of alternate nostril breathing. Two fingers on the forehead, right thumb on the right nostril, breathing all the way out through the left, and all the way in through the left. Smiling, looking up, gentle, soft breath. Smiling, looking up, gentle, soft breath. Hold the left, open the right, exhale right. Smiling, looking up. Focus on a point in the center of your brain while you're exhaling right, and then breathe all the way in through the right, soft and gentle. Smiling, looking up to a point in the center of your brain. Smiling, looking up to a point in the center of your brain. Soft, 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 gentle breath. Hold, change, exhale, left. Gentle, slow. Inhale, left. Focus on the point. Close the left, exhale, right. Inhale right, focus on the point, gentle soft, gentle soft. Inhaling, 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 inhaling. Close the right, exhale left. Inhale left. Exhale right. And then just relax your hands and bring them together in front of your heart, palms facing each other. Just bring them together in front of your heart, palms facing each other, and allow yourself to go into complete stillness. And in that stillness, focus on a point of light in the center of your brain. Just focus on a point of light in the center of your brain in total stillness. And from that stillness and from that point of light in the center of your brain, I want you to reach with your heart, with your love, for a deeper point, another point deeper within you. And I want you to literally pull that second point into the first one with love, with love, with love, with love, with love, with love, with love. And in that stillness and in that peace, pulling that second point with love into yourself, into that first point, and you just allow yourself to see a vision of yourself. See a vision of yourself and see a spiritual vision first. So not so much a vision of yourself defined by this world, but more of a spiritual vision of you as a being of light, like an angel. Very powerful angel of light. And then see a smaller vision of yourself as the human form connected to the angel and the point. And see that human form happy, healthy, successful, calm, peaceful, living in grace. Total stillness, allowing yourself to experience total stillness. So all you'll notice is that you're really enjoying the stability there, and this is the key part of the foundation for moving forward successfully in these times. Is the madness makes you wobble, it makes you fluctuate, it moves, it makes you unstable. So there's only really one way to get stable, and that's internal stability. Because everything else is external and you don't really have much control over that, even if you think you do. So inner stability is the only way to really experience the stability that you're looking for, and that is affected by what we've just practiced there. Very easy, alternate nostril breathing, soul consciousness, then focus on the deep second point with a lot of love. And then vision yourself from the point, and then this spiritual version of yourself, let's just call it an angel, big, powerful angel, very, very tons of light, just blazing light. And then you see you, the person, much smaller than the angel, stable, healthy, happy, successful, enjoying life. That's the vision. And you're... If you overexpose yourself, especially to technology, telephones and computers, you know, in the few hours before you go to bed, you're going to mess up your sleep, you're going to mess up your meditation, you're going to mess up the next morning. Try stay off all the computers and stuff and the phones 2 or 3 hours before you go to bed, and then, you know, 2 or 3 hours first thing in the morning, when after you've woken up. And if you're successful enough, you'll be able to stay off it like we can, really, you know, for days on end. So that, and then focus on the practice and the stabilization of yourself and spend as much time in nature as you can. That's very important. The 5G can't get through the trees. If you're living in the city, 5G, if it isn't already hit your town, it's going to hit town soon, and the trees, you know, block it all and disrupt it all. And the energies of nature right now are just so fabulously magnificent, because the planet, or whatever it is, is going through an extraordinary energetic transformation. And if you tuned into it, your own inner nature and the outside world, nature and the outside world, you can't help but notice how amazing it is. And so you need to be able to sync with that, synchronize with it, and that requires you to stabilize. You have to stabilize to synchronize. If you're not stabilized, you're living in fear. If you're living in fear, you've got a wobbly frequency, you're all over the place, so you can't connect with the natural frequencies of life, which are gently bathing the, you know, the reality that we all share. And this is a wonderful thing. This is a wonderful thing. So don't sleep with your phone, you know, stay away from the thing, get it out of the bedroom. Do your practices first in the morning before you go into all those distortion frequencies of the modern world, you know. And just getting on the computers is going to do it, only that. So, yeah, and then if you can do a day or two or more offline, that's fantastic. And, yeah, and just make sure you've got the night and morning, you know, just off it and plugged into the real power. If you want the news, if you want to know what's going on, don't fucking look at CNN and Fox and all that bullshit and the BBC and what have you. Go down to the river and watch the light sparkling on the water. Go to the trees and watch the breeze blowing in the leaves of the trees. And I'm being serious. Go and listen to the grass growing if you want the fucking news. Because there is something wonderful going on in the world. It is current affairs, but you can't get it through the filter of technology. You have to get it through a direct connection from your soul, through your DNA, into the nature. And that's it. That's it. That's the way it is. There's no negotiation on that one. That's the truth. So, there it is.
So there it is. So take this seriously. You know, we've been saying these things for a long time, but at the end of the day, are we practicing? Are we experiencing it? It's not like practice, practice, practice for the sake of it. But this is really essential. People ask, I got a message from someone this morning. She was going, 5G, what am I going to do about it? And, you know, there's all these things. It's crazy, crazy, crazy. We have to claim back our power and stop giving it away to all these different things. And like Nick was saying, technology. I discovered that this was a major problem. You know, I knew this from years ago, but around 2015, I became aware this is like really got out of hand. And I've been removing myself from it ever since. And what we have to remember is that everything we give attention to, every attention is our precious gift. So if we're focused on our soul, that light, and we're focused on a higher power, we're receiving that, the good vibrations and power and blessings, strength. That's the best use of our attention, because you're receiving so much. You're receiving what you need. You're receiving nourishment. And if our precious attention then goes to this beeping phone with all this nonsense on it and social media and the news and all this crazy stuff, we're giving our focus to things that are designed to addict us, that actually suck our energy away. So a very easy way of thinking about this is, what can you do? And we've just talked about this. Whatever you're doing, is it enhancing your grace, your spiritual power, your good feelings, your peace of mind? Is it enhancing it? Or is it weakening it? Is it sabotaging it? Is it destroying it? And the modern world is designed to destroy our well-being, because weak people are easy to manipulate. That's the reason. There's many, many people who want us to be weak, want us to be asleep, want us to obey, not think for ourselves. And so there's all sorts of very, very clever methods to make us do that. Yeah.
Getting more and more sophisticated. You've got to stay hydrated as well. You've got to have massive hydration strategies in place. And the only way to hydrate, and I know this is very controversial what I'm going to say, but it's true. The only way to hydrate is with juices from fresh fruits and vegetables. And if you're getting fresh fruits and vegetables, Danny, that's great. But you need the juices of these fresh fruit and vegetables because it's something called structured water. You can't get it from tap water or you know, spring water is great, but if spring water is like really high in organic minerals, which a lot of them are, you shoot yourself in the foot in that one. And so you structured water has got to come from fruits and vegetables. That's just the way it is. So plenty of hydration, spiritual practice, and keeping yourself healthy. You got to exercise. If your body, all this sitting on your ass in front of a computer is a disaster for your everything. It's just a disaster. So at the very least, you want to be going for, you know, plenty of walks, especially in nature. If you can't get out into the wilds, get into the parks, and walking, and really enjoy the sounds and sights and smells and everything of nature. It's absolutely wonderful. It's so, so beautiful, and it's vibing with this new energy. What do you want to call it? The new age, the golden age, the heaven on earth thing, whatever you want to call it. If it's going to come fast or it's going to come slow, it's here. It's happening. It's beginning. And if you spend time in nature, you can't help but notice it. It's absolutely, totally there. So get out in it. And I recommend always doing exercise in nature if you possibly can. Going to these noisy gyms where everybody's watching television and fucking about like that. Forget about it. In a 5G'd out inside gym, air conditioning and a load of sweaty ass Muppets listening to hip hop or whatever, forget about it. It's bullshit. You're off going for a bike ride in the pissing pouring rain than being in one of those places. So nature, exercise in nature. If you need vigorous exercise, then get into it. Not everyone needs vigorous exercise, but some people do. I'm someone that does. I benefit massively from vigorous exercise, but make sure you're doing plenty of yin yoga, yin stretching, long, gentle, deep stretches, especially if you're into vigorous exercise. If you're not into vigorous exercise and you don't particularly benefit from it, and you don't really think you need it, then just make sure you're going for, you know, plenty of good walks and bike rides and anything like that that you enjoy, especially in nature. Couple that with spiritual practice, hardcore, real deal. That means you love it. You love it, you love it, you love it. It's the best part of your day. And if you don't do it, the day's a little depressing. The day's, it's not really a magic carpet day. It's more like a bit of a, you know, dragging the sandbags around kind of a day. You know, you just, you've still got the sandbags in the balloon. You don't quite get the altitude. When you do your spiritual practice, especially first thing in the morning, especially early, you get altitude, and make sure you get your timing right for that, for your morning practice, because if you do what I did this morning, get up too early, do the practice, and then go back to sleep afterwards, you get your ass kicked in the dream time. I get ruined in the dream time. It's so bad. I get a beating in the dream time. So I'm in the dream, and I think it's real, of course. It's my reality. And it's always some ass-kicking experience. And I got one this morning, and I woke up, and I was like, oh, no. I woke up like 7:30. I was so glad to get out of that dream.
And it's almost like you have to start again, isn't it? Like, oh, why did I even bother with that? I should have just got up later.
That's right.
Now you're like 3 hours behind schedule, you know, and you're the sun's already up.
Hilarious.
I don't know what it is. Yeah, I know what you mean. The beat, it's just the bizarrest or nastiest, scariest dreams, you know.
Yeah. It's a beat. Yeah, so we don't need those. You get So you have to time it. So you have to time it. If you want to get rocking at 6 in the morning and do your thing, then you want to get up at 5, yeah? So you've got a good, really good meditation in, and you don't go back to sleep. But if you want to get rocking at 6, and you get up at 4, it's 5 o'clock, now you've finished your meditation and that, and it's like, maybe I'll just have a little, 20-minute nap, yeah? A good afternoon, yeah?
Just a little nap, yeah, just to sort of get me ready for get out of bed. And then you wake up at 7:30, groggy, freaking out with strange dreams. We've learned the hard way with all these things. So you've got to plan it out. Think about when you'd love to be awake. And like we were saying before, it's very difficult to do these things if you're being affected by negative influences in the day before or the night before.
Yeah.
So
these images are very disturbing. You know, when it's like you put the spirit of whoever you watch on YouTube, you put their spirit inside you. I know that for a fact. I'm like, if I break the rules, which I always do because I'm a fucking rebel, if I break the rules, I can feel I've imprinted myself with the spirit of this individual. And if it's a good individual, then that's something else. But if you watch a bunch of crazy shit before you go to bed, images of violence or people struggling, negative energy, it imprints. And this technology, my goodness me, they've done a brilliant job. They've really got it figured out how to merge consciousness and technology. This is all part of the transhuman agenda. Absolutely fascinating stuff. I was into this stuff, 10 years ago plus. I was into it 15 years ago, hardcore, but I knew about it a lot longer ago than that. And Brother Michael, we used to have arguments about this in the old days because it's so disturbing. It's so horrific. It's so monstrous. It's so negative. What the people that control this modern world are doing. And so there's this huge temptation just to ignore it and not talk about it and sweep it under the rug. But now it's become so invasive into the lives of the 1%. You know, you hear these numbers about the 99%, basically haven't got hardly anything, and the 1% have almost everything. The dreaded 1% that are fucking held up. Well, we are the 1%. If you've got a computer, and you're listening to this, and you're interested in success, and you can afford to pay for trainings, and you're an entrepreneur, or a business, you're in the 1%. If you eat 3 meals a day, if you go to a supermarket or a health food store, and you can get 10 different flavors of chips or salsa or whatever it is, you're in the 1%. If you shop in a place where there's 20 bars of chocolate choice, you're in the 1%. That's just the way it is. So we're being held to ransom in the 1% by the 0.1%. And it's only because we're now feeling the pinch, the squeeze in your balls, they're going to come around and give you a vaccination because Bill Gates says it's a good idea. The ultimate entrepreneur, yay! The king of the entrepreneurs says we need a vaccination so we all have to obey. Goodness me, that's why people are waking up, and they're waking up now, and what you have to wake up to is the absolute horror of the monsters that are running the show and the consequences of it. So this practice, very simply, is to completely and utterly eradicate the monster in you, or at least get it under your control. Because if you don't come to terms with the nature of your own ego, it will ruin you and just set you up for a massive, massive kicking from life that's coming around the corner now. We need to be in superhero mode now. It's not a joke. This is, and it's hardcore. The morning practice sets it all up. And if you're gonna pussy around on the morning practice and do the 20-minute nap bullshit and or whatever or skip it, there's only one reason you're doing that. And the reason is you didn't set it up the night before. You did not go to bed in the correct way. Correct in the sense it's appropriate behavior in harmony with the goals that you're setting for yourself, the agreement that you're making with yourself, and the desired outcome that you want. If you don't set it up the night before, you're out of integrity with yourself. So you've got to set it up the night before. That means get off the technology, a proper, decent meditation sometime in that evening time. It doesn't have to be immediately before you go to bed, but at some time, you've got to sit, reset, reconnect with yourself, disconnect from the invasive chaos of the technology and the world energy, get back into your zone, and then enjoy the rest of your evening or whatever it is, but stay off that stuff with an eye on, okay, I know what time I'm getting up in the morning, and this is the way it is. This is the way it is. And if you lock that in with no negotiation, if you lock that in with no negotiation, it's not about the way you feel. It's not about, oh, I feel sleepy, so blah, 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 blah. It's not about the way you feel. It's about, are you prepared to do everything? Are you prepared to give all you can be? Are you prepared to give everything all you've got to be all you can be? That's the thing. And if you are, then you've got a good reason for it, you know, and you've got to keep reminding yourself what that reason is, or else you're not going to do these things. But that's the way to success. Lock it in. Non-negotiable, lock it in.
Yeah. Non-negotiable, because as soon as it's negotiable, then you'll come up with some reason not to do it. For something happened, you go to bed late, so-and-so came round, blah, blah, blah. So we need to understand what we're dealing with here. And it's very important to remember that why is it that everyone's wandering around with a cell phone looking at it? What's the reason? It's because those devices are marketers' best friends. Their manipulation, their programming, their propaganda devices. And the reason we're saying this is because if you don't understand what technology is, if you don't realize what you're dealing with, then you're not going to take it seriously. You think, oh, it's fine, it's just for me to send messages to my friends, you know, I use it the way I want it. That's not how it is. These things are manipulating the world in a mass scale. And what's going on, if you think, and by the way, a lot of people, we hear, you know, we've heard us talking about this. I've got a whole course on this, right? And some people say, yeah, it sounds like you're exaggerating. Sounds like you're just like you don't like technology. It means you don't understand what you're dealing with if you say that. So what it is that why would any companies spend any money on advertising if it didn't work? If advertising didn't lead to results, if it didn't get people to change their behavior, no one would do it. If, do you know what I mean? If politicians, let's say someone, you're like a politician and they're not polling very well, you might donate some money and so that they can put more ads out or whatever to get people to like that person. So all these things, billions and billions and billions of dollars are being spent. And the reason it's being spent is because, very simply, it changes people's behavior. It gets us to do things that we otherwise wouldn't do. So we're being manipulated. Our behavior is being manipulated. Our thinking is being manipulated. Our beliefs are being manipulated. So whenever you look at the screen, you're being manipulated by somebody. And if you don't realize that, then you actually are in a very deep state of trance. And that's a very dangerous place to be, because when someone's in a trance state, it's like a hypnotic state. Everything just goes straight through the filter into the subconscious, and then it all lingers about and bounces around in there, and then we become different people based on what we've absorbed. So if you want to have a powerful morning practice, powerful evening practice, you've got to get away from that stuff. This has taken me 5 years to kind of have the balls to do this, but I've got to the point where I only go online twice a week. So 5 days a week, I've got no internet access whatsoever. I haven't had a cell phone of my own since 2016. So this is done very, very consciously, because I realized that despite my awareness of this, despite the fact that I'm on the case and I'm aware of what these people are doing, even so, I'm easily programmed just like anyone else is. So we're mentioning these things because if you realize this, then what happens is you can claim back your attention. And what we did a minute ago, or at the beginning of the call, when Nick did that meditation, we're moving from the non-self, everything in the world, the body, people, cell phones, technology, everything else is what's called the non-self. It's not you, it's other stuff. And most of this stuff around nowadays is bad for us and weakening our energy field. And then when we focus on ourselves as light, as that powerful light, we're focusing on ourself, that point of light. So you can see yourself as that light shining away, sparkling away. And when you focus on the self, the light, then you are coming back home, coming back to yourself, coming back to the grace, coming back to the stable place from where everything emerges. So you're bringing attention back to yourself. And you might be sitting there focusing on the light, focusing on the joy, feeling absolutely wonderful. And then what happens? Bing, 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 bing. And then the attention goes to the non-self. And, oh, crisis, crisis, crisis. Ooh, 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 breaking news. Oh, my God, this, that, and the other, this, that, and the other. Brainwashing, brainwashing, brainwashing. So when we look back on our lives in the future, and people are asking us, you know, how do I deal with this crazy world? It's only going to get worse. There's only going to be more of this stuff. What they want to do is put contact lenses in our eye so we have images superimposed on the world. They want to put chips in the back of our head. These are all things that these technology companies are actively working on. They want to be able to read our mind, literally. Facebook's already working on this for the last 4 or 5 years. So these are what they want it to do. They want us to be literally connected to the Wi-Fi through our brain all day long, all day and night, day and night. So this is the way it's going. If you don't realize that, then you probably need to look into it a little bit. Or you don't need to look into it. You can just take our word for it. This is just the way it is. What we need to do is claim back our attention away from the non-self, which is always changing, is always unreliable, it's always unstable. You can create the most beautiful situation for yourself, and it can all be taken away anyway. So nothing's stable for us physically. So the only thing that ultimately is going to be the saving grace is coming back to the self, coming back to the light. And if you do this for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, an hour, 2 hours, the more you do it, the more you can live in a state of grace and ease. So, you know, we talk about a lot of these things, and what I want to ask everyone listening to this is, how much of this, first of all, do you believe that we're talking about? And secondly, how much of it are you implying or bringing into your life practically? And if you're not doing it already, how much of it will you put into practice? Because knowing about it, this we have to just bring this up. Because if you think, you know what, I listened to this great call, I learned about technology, I learned about that I'm a spiritual being, I learned about going deep. It was really good, I really enjoyed it, it was wonderful, 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 felt really good, right? And then nothing changes. That's not really gonna ultimately serve you personally in the long run. So we have to go from thinking, okay, that's a wonderful idea, I really liked it, to, okay, how can I actually turn my phone off and start practicing being light? How can I go for a walk in nature more often? How can I have plenty of juice? How can I avoid wasting my time on all these various apps? Yeah, this is a big deal to go from the theory to actually doing it. So just tune into that. How can you actually put this into practice, really and truly, in your schedule, in your life, in your routine? And one of the easy ways to do it is to keep a chart. Keep a chart. Chart is basically just you write down what you want to do. So, for example, you want to get up, do your practices, have your juice, do this, that, and the other. Like, I'll give an example practically. What did I do this morning? I woke up at 3:30. 2:45, I realized I was waking up, going back to sleep, like Nick said. So, I decided to just wake up a bit later so I don't go back to sleep. Woke up. Had about an hour meditation. It was just fantastic. Last night I had nice meditation before bed, so I could actually wake up feeling inspired. And then I had lemon water with honey. And then I had a celery juice after my meditation, and a banana after that. And I did a bit of work. I'm writing a book about how to think, how to talk to ourselves in a loving way. It's my new project. How can we talk to ourselves? Because we need to talk to ourselves in our mind. What conversations are we having with ourselves? Is it a loving conversation? Are we being critical? What are we saying to ourselves? So I was writing about this morning. Then I had a class that I did, and breakfast. And here I am now on the call. And then after this, I'm going to go out. So, I'm just giving an example. The internet was in the back of the garden. I just got it and plugged it in now before this call. So I'm just saying that this is a very practical thing. Hydration, meditation, figuring out what I'm going to do with my day. I did some exercise as well. I didn't mention that. So you write down everything that you want to do. You think, okay, what's going to bring me the greatest joy, the greatest well-being? You write it down. And then at the end of the day, you just tick it off. So, yay, I did that, I did that, I did that, I did that. And if you didn't do it, then fair enough. But at least you're looking at it. And it makes your whole life feel like you are in a state of grace. So you ask yourself, do you have a chart? If you don't have a chart, don't worry, but don't feel bad about it. Just think, how can I create a chart today so that tomorrow you get on your program? And it's very simple, by the way. You can do this with just a pen and paper. You don't need some fancy thing from some special, company that comes up with charts. You just need to write down what you want to do on one side of the page, and then you have a bunch of boxes, day one, tick, 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 day two, tick, 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 like that, and you see whether or not you're doing the things that you want to do. It's very, very simple, but of everyone who we say this to, it's the people who actually get the chart, write down the great things, do them, tick them off, Then it becomes ease and grace, ease and grace. It's not like it's just like lugging heavy bricks around. This isn't like hard work. This is just doing things that makes you feel happy, really, is all it is. And claiming back your precious attention away from all this external stuff that's trying to manipulate you, and bringing it back. So that's it. Ease and grace. And one thing, just to remind you, that I highly recommend, we both highly recommend, you take one day a week or more, at least one day a week, where you unplug your internet, cell phone, turn everything off, just take a day off. Some people haven't had a day away from their phone for years, literally, a whole day, which is obviously goes to show how addictive they are. So you can tell people, by the way, you can tell people who might be worried about you. You say, I'm going to take one day a week off, so I'm not going to get back to you. And if I don't get back to you, I'm still alive. Don't worry, I haven't died. You know, because people might text you and say, how are you doing? You don't get back to them, and they immediately think you're dead. That's how bad it's got, you know. You must have had an accident, you know. But you just tell people, I'm not around. You just turn everything off, put it away. And you'll start to feel all of a sudden, this is what happened to me when I first started doing this. I turned it off. I gave it to my neighbor, actually. I gave it to a neighbor for a week. And I said, look, here's the internet box for the Wi-Fi. Here's the cell phone. You're not allowed to give this back to me for a week, no matter what I do, even if I beg for it. So I turned it all off, took it all away, and I felt initially a little bit restless because I'm used to checking all these things. But then shortly after that, I started feeling really, really, really light, really free. And then I started looking around, realizing that I had a house that I hadn't noticed because I've been so absorbed in all these other online things. I started going out on all these extra walks and started doing more meditation. I started doing artwork and listening to music and just all sorts of beautiful things, connecting with people in real life, you know. Everything in my physical life immediately started getting better. That was a huge eye-opener for me because the real world sort of disappears when we're looking at screens. And then when you turn them off, the real world comes back into focus. So it's really beautiful to take one day a week, where at least one day a week, but start with one day. Well, you just turn everything off and you think about what do you want to do instead? What would you like to do offline? What other things in your life are there that you'd like to do? Maybe you want to do some gardening, go for a walk in the park, go on a picnic, you know, go to a bookstore, or you know, there's all sorts of things you can do. Meditate all day, do some more yoga, there's so many things. So you just write it all down, you think about it, write it down, take a day off. And you'll start to feel like you're claiming back your life from this toxic modern world. We can't be constantly absorbed in all this nonsense day in, day out for years and years and years, and at the same time be free of it. You know, you have to actually get away from it. And that's why monks and nuns and monasteries and all that, they purposely got away from the world so they could focus on higher things. We're not going to be able to do that the way that the monks do or the nuns do, but we can figure out a way of having some freedom. And one of the best ways is to turn everything off for at least one day a week. So there you go. Yeah. So, if anyone has any questions, we have a question here from Sarah from London. She says, do you see there is going to be a choice not to accept this technology? Yes, there is a choice. We have to choose now. This is the thing. If you turn off your phone now for one day a week or even 5 days a week, you're making a choice. You're making a choice now. If you can't turn off your phone now, then this other more invasive technology is going to keep getting worse and worse, and we'll probably keep getting worse anyway, but we have to make the choice now. Don't think, oh, I'll make the choice when they start demanding that we have chips in our head. At that point, it's kind of gone too far. We have to start making this choice now. You know, 5G is completely unnecessary. Absolutely most stupid idea to have 5G. Why the hell do we need 5G? It's completely ridiculous. We don't even need 4G. We don't even need 3G. Frankly, we don't really need cell phones. But now they want more and more and more and more and more, because people don't make the choice with what they have currently. So it's only going to get more and more ridiculous as time goes on. So there's always going to be a choice. There might, down the line, there might be fines. You might get fined money for not having certain technology, but you'll still be able to get away with not having it. You don't need to have a vaccine. There'll be plenty of people who don't want vaccines. So you have to make the choice. Start making the choices now, and then when the other choices come later on, you'll be able to deal with it more easily.
And one little point I want to make, sometimes we get a bit of resistance up. It's like, oh man, I can't be doing all this meditation, I'm busy. You know, I've got shit to do. Well, I tell you what, if you get up early in the morning, and I'm sure you noticed this already, it's amazing what you can accomplish before 9 o'clock in the morning.
Incredible.
I mean, it's just mind-blowing, isn't it, bro?
Oh, yeah.
If you want to, if you do an early morning meditation and then you get ripping into what, knocking stuff out, you are so creative. It's extremely efficient, very empowering for efficiency, I feel.
Absolutely. Yeah. One of my books that I wrote years ago is basically, it's the point of the book is if you get up early, you can... And you know what's the high value work. If you know what's the high value work for you in whatever your life is and whatever it is, and if you get up early and you do just that high value work first thing in the morning before all this nonsense, you can basically be done by 11 o'clock in the morning. You could take the rest of the day off and just go for a walk or just lie down and read books or something, and you'd be fine. Even by 9 o'clock, like Nick was saying. So when you get up early and you know, you're focused, you can think clearly, you're in a good space, then you can be so effective that you're done. And then it's just fun and games the rest of the day. You know, it does, even if you did nothing the rest of the day, if you just sat there or you just walked the whole day, it would be extremely effective, productive day. And quite frankly, most of what's going on in the world right now is people who are overloaded with too much negative images and negative thoughts and negative vibrations because of the world. So it fragments consciousness. People can't think properly. They're fragmented and stressed out. So what most people do is they wake up in a panic. And they make mistake after mistake after mistake after mistake all the day, whole day. And then they try and clear up after their mistakes as well. So make mistakes, try and fix mistakes, make mistakes, fix mistakes. So this is exhausting, and it's an exhausting way to live. You eat the wrong food, feel bad about it, have something to try and feel better, do something, do it again, write something, realize it was bad, write it again. So this is why people are so exhausted, because this takes such a long time. If you do meditation instead, then you can just do what you need to do in one go, and it's successful, and then you're done. So much easier to do it like that. I'd like to hear from Amy Miller. Amy Miller, I'd like you to tell us what Muppet you are, Amy. That was your homework last week.
Yes, that was my homework. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Great. Well, after a lot of thinking, and I asked my best friend, I think I'm the Muppet that you are, Brother Michael, and that's Kermit. because of how Kermit is a dreamer, but then at the same time, you know, how he always gulps and everything and has trouble talking and all that. So that was my homework, and it took a little bit of thought, but I think it's cool we have the same one.
Yeah. Good job. Well, we think alike, Amy. I appreciate that. What a great soul. How has your week been?
The week's going good. I'm getting my routines more down. And it's good that we're taking it bit by bit, but I'm feeling a lot better. That morning practice is getting stronger, and I have to balance it with Micah and, you know, having the son. So it's been figuring that all out, but I'm getting into a groove, which is good.
Mm. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, mothers, I've talked to a lot of mothers over the years, and mothers have to sort of do their morning routine when they can, you know, depending on their children's, like, waking up and things like that. And, Amy, how do you feel about this technology, a detox that we were talking about? What are your thoughts on that? And if you have any resistance, what is it?
Well, I think there's some resistance. The thing I need to add on now is that evening routine, because I still haven't gotten that down. And I love, which I'm going to have to set that phone down, sometimes because we're so busy all day with the chaos of the business. When I'm scrolling through Facebook or something like that, it calms my mind down. So I think it's just going to be an active thing to just set it down and do exactly what you're saying and just make that happen. So that's one of the little ticks I have to do on my chart, because I'm not doing it right now.
Mm. Well, good for you. Yeah, it makes a huge difference.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The one day a week would be hard for me. I love that, but I think I'd have to commit to that. But that one I have more resistance to than the evening one.
Well, I'd like to challenge you, Amy, because you're a powerful soul, to have one day this week where you tell everyone, you tell people who might text you or whatever, that you're not available.
Yeah.
Because what you'll notice is when you get away from it, you'll notice how relieved you are, actually.
Yeah.
And the thing is, you can't, it's difficult to feel the benefit of this until you actually do it.
Correct. Correct. Yeah. So, okay, I'll have to accept the challenge there.
Yeah, you're up for it.
And make it
one
happen.
Day. Yeah, you
one
pick
day.
The day. Yeah.
Okay.
And you tell, you know, anyone in your business, you know, by the way, tomorrow I'm not available, but I'll be around the next day. So if you text me, I'm not going to get back to you. Don't worry, I'm not dead. Everything's fine. It's all good. I'm just offline, you know. And then they say, okay, sure. And you'll feel, I'm very curious, you can tell us next week, what happened as a result of you doing that? What comes up for you and what's different? I'm very interested. So that's that's your mission. Add your evening routine. And take one day of freedom.
Okay, that's good. I did my mission of finding the Muppets, so I can do this for you. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. Yay.
Yay.
Oh, we love Amy. Amy's the best. Yay. We got another question here. I notice that sometimes I consciously choose to be unconscious. It's like I was tired of being conscious, that I need to take a break from it. Do you have the same moment like this?
Well, you need to integrate. You need to integrate, and you need to integrate pretty damn quickly in the times that we're in. So it's like training at the gym or any form of, you know, hardcore training, physical exercise. Some people are going to be able to do a lot more in their workouts than you are. And some people are going to need to do a lot more in their workouts than you are. Also, what you can do in a workout is going to change. The better you get at it, the stronger you get, the more natural it comes. And within all that, of that, there's going to be ebbs and flows of circadian rhythms and the seasonal changes and goodness knows what else, all the stress factors that affect our lives. And it's exactly the same with awakening. or ascension or, you know, personal deep personal healing. These are all terms given to this path that we're all on, and we're either doing it consciously or we're doing it unconsciously. But we are all in this process of, you know, the evolution of consciousness or the purification of consciousness or whatever you want to call it. It's life is for the benefit of consciousness. It's not for the benefit of anything else. All the forms have a beginning and middle and end. Consciousness itself endures forever. It's the infinite thing. So life is for consciousness. So everything else, in a sense, you know, doesn't really matter. You know, consciousness, that life doesn't shed tears. It's not emotionally involved in the processes. So you have to be honest about, you know, where you're at in your process. And sometimes, you know, it fluctuates. Like sometimes when it's not, now I go through phases with it. Sometimes I can hardly, you know, as soon as I sit down or drop into some Qigong or something, it's so incredibly flipping stimulating that, you know, it's the best thing for me not to do anything, not to do that, is to go and do something else or move that energy. That happens to me sometimes still. So you have to be honest about where you're at. And the choices that you're making, you know, if they assist in an integrative process, then that's wonderful. If they're a form of escapism or, you know, succumbing to resistance to practice, or, you know, your ego is just tripping on whatever it's tripping on, then that's not cool. You're not in integrity with the direction that you set in yourself moving forward. But sometimes, yeah, you've just got to let yourself integrate and trust trust the process and just carry on doing the best you can. We all have phases in it. You know, there's sometimes we used to do really, really, really long sits and get up, you know, super, super early. I personally don't do that much sitting meditation anymore. I do it every day, but I much prefer standing. I'm really into standing meditation, have been for years. And I also like the walking meditations. I have a bunch of those on my website, which is Tao Te Ching style, where you're the great traveler with no destination. So when you're walking down the street, you imagine you're walking backwards or spiraling into yourself. That's the Tao Te Ching style, and I love that one. And so you can do it cycling, you can do it, you know, with any form of motion. So switching things up to keep yourself on the ball is helpful as well. But you've got to just keep, you know, just an eye out for Mr. Lizard that's sabotaging, you know, the little demon that sits on your other shoulder who's whispering, you know, and to pull out of these practices and stuff. But yeah, I definitely need to integrate sometimes, and there is ebbs and flows and fluctuations.
Yeah, we got to be honest. Yeah, it's not a straightforward thing. I mean, we basically, whenever you try and do something truly beneficial and full of goodness, the dark side doesn't like it. Doesn't like it, it's going to go after you. So that's just something you have to be aware of. But also, it takes time to integrate things. And so what I personally find is that it's useful to have a type of distraction, if you like, that is not toxic. So that if you're, let's say you're doing loads of meditation and you're again making a lot of progress, but it's just like pushing you a bit too far and you're kind of going over the edge, then you can think, well, what could I do? You know, for example, you might want to read a book. I've got loads of books that I read, and not all of them are like the highest vibration, super high vibe spiritual books or anything. But, you know, it's interesting learning about something, maybe read a magazine, an article or something. It's not the highest, but it's also not toxic. So it's something in the middle. Might be going for a walk, it might be learning about something, it might be connecting with some, you know, there's loads of different options. So you need to come up with stuff that is not, that's not the hardcore all the time, but it's also not super toxic. It's something in the middle, because if you don't have that other option, it will go from super high vibe to super toxic, and that really isn't going to work. So be careful about that, and just think about what can you do to have that feeling of integration. And like Nick said, variety, lots of variety in life, you know, different practices, walking meditations, sitting meditations, lying down meditations, meditations in the water, prayers, there's so many different things. And let's have a look, final question we have here. Hello, lovely people. How do you suggest dealing with the circumstances of this ever-growing madness, like the new laws of surveillance, forced vaccination, manipulation by evil forces? Isn't it necessary that enough people stand up against it and get organized and fight against it, stand up against it? Politics, new laws, etc. Or better to turn away completely, connect more with the love and trust that all goes well? This is still not clear to me. Sometimes I feel like I need to do something. Thank you all for all you do. Lots of love from Martin in Austria.
Thank you, Martin. And yeah, you do have to do something if you're being called to do it. You do. You have to follow your calling in life. That's what we've done. We've followed our calling in life. And I feel like I'm being called to the UK now. I'm in the Netherlands. And we're in a total false sense of security here, because it's just such incredibly beautiful weather. It's just absolutely glorious time of the year, springtime. Everyone's out and about, the parks, the canals. I mean, it's just so, so splendid. Loads of healthy, beautiful people everywhere, affluence, lots of, you know, things opening, all the restaurants are opening up, and the bars are opening up and all this stuff. But it's all going on in Mordor. It's all going on in Mordor. And I feel like I'm being called to the UK, which is much more draconian, much more, you know, clamped down, much more toxic, much more pressurized society. And I've got a feeling things are going to blow over there. And I've got a feeling, yeah, I feel like I'm being called over there. It's not going to be, like, you know, immediate. But in the next weeks and months, I'm looking at being over there. So, and getting involved, And, but the thing is this, what you're getting involved in, what you perceive as this, you know, this completely manipulated society, technocracy, transhuman agenda, just this bizarre manipulation of freedom and this perverse, invasive, you know, toxic, energetic, you know, invasion into your privacy, into your intimacy, into your consciousness, into your life, into your world. It's all a mirror. As real as it is, or let's say as real as you think it is and feel it is, as real as it appears to be, it's an illusion. That doesn't mean it doesn't fucking hurt and that it doesn't matter. What it means is that it's an energy field or an energy matrix that responds to human consciousness. And human consciousness is driving this thing. Even though we're probably you know, being controlled and manipulated by negative extraterrestrials and demonic entities and, you know, demons and forces of evil and blah, 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 and, you know, Luciferian, satanic influences and all of this stuff, whatever you want to call it, that all kinds of cultures have called it all kinds of different names, even though that is, this monstrous element is doing what it does, it's still a reflection of the creator souls. So you can't just go charging down to the fucking front line and start getting your head kicked in by the cops and screaming and carrying on, or like I do, have psychotic episodes of contemplating murdering the, you know, these fucking reptilian pedophiles, you have to look at the monster in yourself. This is Jordan Peterson's amazing contribution to the world. Because what he said, and he's only echoing the thoughts and words of the greatest psychologists in history, namely Carl Jung and all his little gang of, students and people that followed his way. They're saying that there's a monster inside us, and the proof is, the evidence is irrefutable, unequivocal, 100% guaranteed, that there is a monster inside us all. And the monstrosity within us is being reflected in the energy around us, and that's what we perceive as reality, as the world. So all of these things that are happening to us, this reptilian influence that's, supposedly satanic and involved in all of this terrible child sacrifice and all of these super dark rituals, are a reflection of a distorted, energy within ourselves. So you have to sort this inner thing out, and not just you, millions and billions of people have to get on the case to embrace their own creature and get to grips with this thing, what it is. And this is something that I've been really, really interested in for a long time, trying to understand what on earth is going on with this monstrous element. And basically what it is, the book of Revelation in the Bible sheds a tremendous amount of light on this. There's a moment in the book of Revelation where John has, been raised up. So he's by whatever means, he's accessed what in the Bible is called the second heaven, as opposed to the first heaven. So it the Bible itself starts to tell you that there's levels of consciousness. It's not just earth, you die, you go to heaven. It's no. There's levels. We know there's more than one. And so what's going on in this second heaven? So John is brought into this room, and in this room, God is sitting on a throne. The throne is guarded by four supernatural creatures. One of them has the head of a man, one of them has the head of a bear, one of them has the head of a lion, one of them has the head of an eagle, and they all have eagle's claws, eagle's talons for feet, and they all have six pairs of wings with eyes in them. Now, what on earth does this mean? The Christians, in their massive error, take all this literally, so they can't understand it, so hardly anyone ever bothers, reading the book of Revelations and advises you not to, if you're, talking to a Christian, because it's so trippy. What it means is that within yourself, there is a high place, higher, two levels higher than your normal ego world. So that means it's beyond your emotions and beyond your mind. The earth level of the ego's world is the physical world, the physical body and the physical world. And then the inner world is the mental, emotional world. Well, beyond that, there's a spiritual world, and there's a center of divinity, and there's a seat of consciousness in this high place, which mythologically is illustrated as a throne. And the divinity that's sitting on the throne is this divine aspect of yourself, but it's guarded by the strange creatures of yourself. And these fucking creatures have teeth, and they have claws. They're savage. There's an animal aspect to you that if you And this, and the wildness of it is this, you know, this wild spirit. If ever you get close to a wild animal, you'll know exactly what I mean. This wild spirit that cannot be tamed and hates to be confined. And that spiritual thing inside us is trapped. And by our ego consciousness and the mind that goes with it, and is being tormented and has been for generations and civilizations and cycles after cycles after cycles. And through the torture of that inner creature, which according to the Bible, and not just the Bible, many, 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 many different scriptures, is a wonderful thing. This wondrous wild creature inside you, this wonderful thing that actually guards your divinity. It protects your divinity. That thing, when you ignore it and you torture it with your ego, neurosis and psychosis, will become a monster. And because it's suppressed and repressed, it has to be externalized. And so what we see in the world is monsters. The place is being run by monsters. And the monsters do not do their work. They don't look at themselves. Most of them have been terribly abused as children, which is another reflection of us abusing our own inner child. And there's trauma on trauma on trauma. There's schisms in the human psyche that really, I mean, goodness knows, they appear to me to be irreparable when you're talking about world wars and things like this. And then, you know, the fall of man, these gigantic cataclysms and, you know, these falls of consciousness. These are gigantic schisms in the soul that breed monstrosity. And that's why all your scriptures and all your mythology has in it, not hidden at all, everywhere written about this monstrous conflict between these gigantic forces, whether they're gods or demons and angels or it's demigods or whatever it is. There, these things are nasty, 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 and very, very powerful. And so they're going to show up in the modern world outside of us because they've always been there, and they will always be there as long as human beings, souls trapped in the illusion of the flesh, suppress and repress the wondrous, wild, you know, beyond primal power that exists inside of themselves, that's represented as this, you know, this mythological creature that is savage. This thing is untamable.
So, if you want to change, get rid of the monster, basically. It's not easy to do. It's a lot easier to go around petitioning against 5G and telling people they shouldn't put up, you know, various radiation towers and whatever else. But if I could sign something that says that you're not allowed to have 5G where I am, I'd quite happily sign it. You know, that's fine. But the real work is dealing with our demons. That's the hardest thing to do, and it's the most significant thing to do, because even if we stopped, let's say there's 10 major problems in the world and we forced them all to stop and now they're not a problem anymore, guess what? They'll all come back again in a new form very quickly, because the monsters that created them haven't gone anywhere. And it's very easy to point our finger and say, all those people over there are a bunch of evil idiots. But we all have something going on that needs looking at. So the most heroic effort is to change ourselves. And then from that change, whatever we're inspired to do physically is going to have a much more power behind it than it would if we're just projecting. And this whole climate change thing, in my opinion, is a classic example of missing the point about where the power lies and doing the work. Many, many, many things. You can pretty much pick any big topic of the day which people are all riled up about, and you'll find people, some of them have got a good heart, absolutely, but a lot of them are basically avoiding their own work by trying to connect themselves to some sort of thing as a way of avoiding what needs to be done personally. So as superheroes, we don't do that. We say, first and foremost, the biggest mission, biggest problem, biggest challenge is how can I get rid of my own madness that caused a lot of these problems that are in the world? And then what can I do afterwards? Thank you, Brother Martin. It's in Austria. If you can focus on yourself, Martin, for 2 hours a day, that's absolutely remarkable power for the world, remarkable healing. Your higher self, connect to the power, connect to the light.
You know, Einstein said we can't solve a problem on the same level of consciousness that creates it. And, you know, these are extraordinary times we're in. You know, this whole thing about it being the end times, which the book of Revelations talks about, that, you know, these are the end times. It's like, it is the end of time. It's the end of the old ways, you know, this. It's so dumb, this thing. But as agonizing as it is, as horrific as it is, it moves very slowly. This deconstruction, the destruction of modern civilization, the breakdown of so much, it's going to happen, you know, on reflection, it's going to happen fast because it's such a gigantic thing. But you know, while we're in it, it's actually breaking down slowly and surely, like a louse walking across the floor. That's a good image of what's going on. This thing with, if ever you see one of those things crawling around, you'll know what I mean. But it keeps moving, and it is going to keep moving. And we used to, you know, we've been into this stuff for decades. Known this shit for 20 years. And you think, you know, 1 year goes by, 5 years go by, you know this stuff, you know it, you've known it for 5 years now, 10 years go by, still nothing's happened, what's going on with it? Then it was 2012, oh my God, all this stuff's going to happen, nothing really did. And it just all just keeps on going in the general direction it's going, which is to shit the human world while something glorious is occurring in the natural world and within you. So you've just got to do your best with what you've got and understand that the momentum that is driving this world is far greater than your influence. You're really nothing in the big picture of things. When you just consider karmic forces, the forces of karma, you just contemplate karmic forces for a moment and you actually get what it is, they're gigantic. How are you going to stand in the way of the forces of karma that have been functioning for eternity? You're not. You're not going to do nothing. All you can do is go with, all you can do is go with the flow of it. And that means you have to be centered in your authentic self. You have to be centered in that place because that's the only place that's actually in the flow. So if you're deepening the centering of yourself, if you're deepening that focus in you, and you're committing more and more and more and more to that reorientation of your own internal geometry, because that's what it is. You're just reorganizing awareness. You're focusing more internally. That focus becomes sharper and it gets deeper. And as it gets deeper, you get connected more and more and more and more to the real thing, the eternal thing, and you feel it. That means you feel peace. You feel deep, 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 deep peace. And even though you're aware of these extraordinarily disturbing facts of life in this world that you, this apparent world that you apparently share with all these other people, all these other souls, it actually, you know, if you stay on your on your practice and you know, live according to the recommendations we're suggesting, you are kind of impervious to it. It doesn't really fuck with your peace. And of course, you know, it's sooner or later it's gonna get you. But if you're solid in the thing, on the inner thing, you're going to be effective in the outer, whatever you're being called to do. I'm a bit of an activist, so, you know, I'm because that's my calling. I'm a bit of a boat rocker, that's my calling. In human design, I have the what's called a right angle cross of upheaval. That means when I walk in the room, waves are going to start going and some people are going to fall off the fucking couch. That's just the way it is. It's always been that way with my energy. So I have to do what I have to do in order to be in integrity with myself. But it has to come from that detached state of being inside of myself if I want to be ultimately effective. Because otherwise, I'm just going to be projecting my emotional perception, my emotional distortion, my emotional drama field onto whatever I perceive is, you know, the problem. That's the way it works. And the ego just loves doing that. It just loves projecting its own emotional process onto someone that it perceives as needs saving or needs killing or whatever it is. So stay focused on yourself and listen to your calling. And if you call to go down there and get on the front line, then get on the front line. But make sure you're shining from the real place within you. And share that gospel around, because we are incredibly powerful when we're united. As individuals, we're not very powerful at all. But, you know, one person with, you know, a whole bunch around them, and everyone knows what's up, how to level up, how to focus, how to connect with the true inner self, how to hold a stable vision, how to maintain their energy field in a way that doesn't emotionally feed the drama of life and all this stuff. Well, then, you know, you've got 1,000 people doing that. You are a force to be reckoned with. But if you've got 1,000 people that are emotionally distorted and they're all, you know, spewing out their own shit, It's going to get messy. It's going to get messy. It's not going to be a story with a happy ending. It's going to be like the French Revolution. They got rid of the aristocracy, chopped all their heads off, and then they're left with all the frickin' criminals and goodness knows what else, all the ignorant frickin' beast people running the show. Then it was just like, it wasn't an aristocracy anymore, but it just became a monstrosity. And then it returns to the aristocracy. So,
do your best.
Do your best. And it's important to remember that being anti-stuff is not a real thing. You've got no foundation if you're just anti 5G or anti this or anti that. What do you stand for? What are you pro? What's the alternative? What's the solution? Because there's a lot of people, very, very disturbed, negative people who are anti things, and they don't actually add any value. They just cause chaos. And unfortunately, that's what a lot of activists are like. So some of them are different. Some of them have got a pro position. They want to make a difference, positive difference. A lot of people, they just, I don't like this, I don't like this, I don't like this, and they're just bringing more negativity. And when they get in control, governments, so this has happened again and again, where governments, anti-government people, take over the government, and the new government is 10 times worse than the last one. You can read about history, you'll find this again and again and again. So we want to make sure we're not anti, we're pro people, and just understand that this world is gradually getting destroyed, and so we need to be into creation. What are we bringing that's new? What are we bringing that's positive? How can we live a new way? That's what we can do. So even though this whole thing's falling apart, and even if the karmic consequences. Because think about how much bad karma has been done for years and years and years and years and years. We can't get in the way of that happening. We all have to pay it off. But what can we do to be part of creation? I was talking to someone about this the other day who was a bit disturbed about the whole thing. And I said, look, just focus on being part of creation. Then you can let the other people focus on destruction. So that's where we have the power. That's where we have the capacity. So just focus on that. What can you do today to bring about a higher creation in your own life?
Yeah. And just trust yourself. I always tell everyone that follows these guidelines and does these practices, you can trust yourself. Because you're going to get intuition, you're going to get inspiration, your imagination is going to be firing in a certain way, and you need to follow that vision. You need to trust yourself. When you're plugging into the light, you're going to become illuminated. And that illumination is going to, you know, give you inspiration. It's going to talk to you through your intuition. And it's going to, you know, you see and feel visions and impulses in your imagination. And this is how you move forward in life. This is how you move forward. But you need to keep yourself clear. You have to be very, 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 very careful. Especially with mainstream media. Mainstream media is brutal now. Throughout the years, I've always kept up with current affairs. Always kept up with current affairs. And one of the things I've learned is that if you just look at the headlines once every 6 weeks, you can keep up with current affairs. Once every 6 weeks, these themes last for ages. Now, since this whole coronavirus thing lately, I haven't looked at this mainstream media perspective for quite some weeks now. I don't know how long, I got a message from a guy today. He was on a training of mine. He came on a retreat. He's done some private stuff with me. He's a student of mine and one of the best ones I ever had. He's in Madagascar in Africa, and he texted me today. He's like, you know, I've been watching all the mainstream media stuff and I'm getting negative and I'm getting depressed. Well, I wonder why, you know what I mean? So if you keep your head out of that and tune into your own light and get your own inspiration, your own intuition, your own imagination going, you know, and follow that and dedicate your life to it. But it's not the way it seems. Life is not the way it seems. It's all about perception of reality. It's all about perception. Everyone's perception is being manipulated by competing forces in the technological world, social media and mainstream media being the two major influences. Modern minds are being influenced massively in that way, and it's a battle for possession of the perception of reality, understanding that if you perceive reality in a certain way, you're going to behave in a certain way. You're going to orient your life in a certain way according to that perception. So the goal is to manipulate perception, manipulate perception, manipulate perception. And that's what's going on. Your consciousness, this whole thing about the forces of good and evil, and the battle for possession of your soul, it's fucking true. It's what's happening. This is life. Whether you believe it or not, whether you want to participate or not, it doesn't matter what your opinion or idea or belief is. There's an underlying nature of existence that has in the electromagnetic universe, in these energy creations, positive and negative forces. Those positive and negative forces are in dynamic tension. And guess who's in the middle? Little old you. And you're either being drawn one way or you're being drawn the other. And the way the details of the creation play out
is defined by us, and it's defined by your perception and just the way you perceive it all. So preserve your perception and focus it on what you want to focus it on. And if you turn it inward to your own light with discipline, with commitment, dedication, devotion, you're going to get continuity. That continuity is going to allow you to become this. It becomes a way of being, a way of being. So it's not so much about, oh, I got to practice this. This is my way of being. And when you have this way of being, you perceive reality in a different way. And that perception, that it, the thing about life is it honors that perception. You're going to experience it the way you perceive it. That's the way it is.
That's right. And quite frankly, we need to be very straight up about this. If you spend a big chunk of your time consuming media, you are being brainwashed and you will not be able to rise in your level of consciousness. It's like sabotage on a regular basis. David Hawkins, back in around 2004, wrote a book called Truth Versus Falsehood. And one of the things he mentioned in that book is that bloggerism, as he called it, because back then, this is before Facebook, this was before Twitter, this is before social media, 2004, when people were just writing blogs. And back then, he said, bloggerism is destroying people's capacity to discern truth from falsehood. So by just being exposed to blogs, it was wrecking people's capacity to understand what's true and what's not true. This is before social media. So if you go on your phone and you scroll through Facebook, you're literally damaging your capacity to understand what's true and what isn't, because you're being bombarded with such massive amount of nonsense and perception and mind-altering information that, and you haven't got time to assess whether it's true or not, and it's just more and more and more and more and more and more and more. And this essential capacity to discern what's true and what's not gets deactivated, and then we're left in this la-la land, like floating around in the middle of the ocean, no idea what the hell is going on anymore. And so we need to claim that back, and the only way to claim it back is to turn it off. To turn it off. Okay. This is why we're saying take at least one day a week. I mean, one day a week's not enough, actually, but it's a good start, because that actually allows you to kind of claim back a little bit of territory from the enemy. And then you can start to increase your freedom more and more and more each day. So just understand there's a warfare going on here. And a nice quote just to remember about this is that if you do not watch the news, if you don't watch the news, you're uninformed. And if you do see the news, you're misinformed. So in either case, you don't really know what's going on anyway. But if we absorb this day in, day out, we're literally not got control of our minds, and we can't understand what's right and what's wrong, what's true, what's false. This is why people make terrible mistakes on a regular basis. So your mission this week, just a reminder, is to do a digital detox one day. Just turn it all off, a whole day, and see what happens. And you'll start to claim back some territory and some good feelings. The other thing is to hold the highest vision of yourself, like Nick was saying earlier. Seeing yourself as that light, then seeing yourself as that angel connected to you here, and having that higher consciousness. Keep your morning practices, number three, hydration, meditation, prayer, whatever it is that you're doing to make you feel inspired, so you really start the day strong with lots of joy and lots of ease. Get your phone away from you. Don't turn on your phone until you've done all your practices, so you have some space. And keep your chart. The chart is really useful, because then you get to see whether or not you're on your game. Remember, this is up to you. This is your life. So basically, every time you tick those things off, it's like a massive celebration. So you go, yay, I did it, I did it, I did it, I did it. And you'll feel some massive shift is happening each day, each day, each day, one day at a time. Yay. So Brother Nick would like to lead us in a little final prayer, blessings.
All right, let's just give thanks. Give thanks, give thanks, give thanks, give thanks for the great victory of truth over falsehood, of love over fear. And we bow our heads in respect, deep respect to our great adversary, the forces of darkness, mind-blowing challenge. Thank you for giving us such an extraordinary challenge so that we can love the unlovable, forgive the unforgivable, and accommodate you into our into our understanding of life and be completely at peace. For the highest good of all beings throughout all space and time, forever and ever and ever, in the name of love. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
So lots of love. Have a beautiful week. Enjoy your freedom and talk to you soon.